Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. The internet, a world of opportunity, but not one without dangers and pitfalls, especially for young teens. What can and should parents do to monitor their children's online activities? And should children have any online privacy? To find out, I'm joined by Fred Lane, an attorney and computer forensics expert, and the author of the new book, Cyber Traps for the Young. Welcome to the program, Fred.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the chance to be on.
Now, between online chatting, Facebooking, texting, it seems that kids nowadays spend almost every waking moment plugged into technology. Do parents typically have a good idea of who their children are communicating with and what they're up to?
I think that's one of the real challenges of parenting these days, and I say that as one myself. Kids are incredibly plugged in these days, and it takes some real effort to keep track of what they're doing.
How intrusive should parents be when it comes to monitoring their kids? I mean, should they go as far as looking through their emails, texts, and checking phone records?
I think it's an ages and stages thing. I think that parents should be very careful when kids are younger in terms of what they're doing, particularly because their judgment is not well developed at that point. As kids get older and as there's time for conversations about the risks, then I think it makes sense to give the kids more latitude. But I do think the parents need to confront the idea that children don't have a right to privacy. It's something they grow into.
When you say younger and older, what kind of ages are we talking about? At what age should a kid or a child actually be on the internet doing anything?
Well, you know, I think that, again, it really is going to come down to a parent's assessment of the maturity of their children. I think statistically, we're seeing kids get cell phones, for instance, at younger and younger ages. I think the average age now is below 10. A lot of kids are sneaking onto Facebook. I think roughly 1 in 5 of Facebook's membership is actually, in that range that isn't even supposed to be online. It's hugely popular with kids. So I think that we need to be aware of the fact that all of this is happening a lot sooner than parents may anticipate. And it really, I think, increases the responsibility for parents to be aware of what the risks are and to talk to their kids.
Your new book, it's titled Cyber Traps for the Young. What do you mean by cyber traps?
What I mean by cyber traps are the different kind of real-world legal problems that kids can get into. I cover a range of a dozen or 15 different issues in this book, from things that are as relatively mild as academic dishonesty and plagiarism in school, which aren't criminal violations, to things which could actually result in prosecution, like hacking, cyberbullying, cyber harassment, sexting, things like that. And I think one of the things that we're just really beginning to come to grips with is this idea that kids are not only at risk of becoming victims online, but increasingly they can become perpetrators as well.
I wonder, when it comes to parents monitoring, let's say, teenagers, is it okay to look at their emails and read through what they're doing when it comes to their private correspondence?
I really think it is. It's not something I say easily because the book before last that I wrote was called American Privacy, which was about the right to privacy and where it came from. So I'm a big privacy advocate. At the same time, as a parent and as a school board member, I've really learned how serious the consequences of all this can be. And so when you're looking at things that could have a long-term impact on your child's career, educational prospects, and so forth, there is a place for that level of surveillance. And as I said, it may be something that the child successfully persuades you they don't need as they grow and mature and so forth. But until you've got that comfort level, I think it's probably foolish not to exercise a certain level of surveillance over how they're communicating with other kids.
I'm guessing then that would mean telling them that they are going to be monitored and their emails will be read and their texts will be looked at and the phone records will be looked through.
Oh, absolutely. I think that having those conversations with kids is a huge part of this educational process so that they understand what the risks are. And honestly, parents may feel a little intimidated by technology, but they know real-world consequences better than kids do, and they can pass on that experience to kids, and that's part of the job. So hopefully by talking to kids about the kinds of surveillance that you think are necessary, you educate them, and then also can help them to, in turn, show you that they've got the responsibility to earn the privacy.
I'm talking to Fred Lane, an attorney and computer forensics expert, and the author of the new book, Cyber Traps for the Young. When you talk about being computer savvy, I would have to guess that most kids are far more technologically savvy and know a lot more about how to get around things than their parents do. Isn't there a real opportunity for them to typically outsmart their parents when it comes to their ability to closely monitor their children?
Well, there is that potential, sure. And, you know, as I acknowledge in the book, if you've got a child who really wants to keep their activity secret, for instance, they're into hacking and they're very computer savvy, then, yeah, most parents are going to be behind the eight ball in that particular respect. But I think the majority of kids are not that sophisticated themselves. And they may use technology much more fluidly than parents do, but it won't take parents long to get up to speed. And then there are also things that parents can do in terms of software tools or classes or even consulting with people that can narrow the gap pretty quickly.
There are, as you say, software tools that actually monitor every kind of activity that's done on a computer. Are there some products that that are out there that you think are especially effective in that way?
Well, there's a great website called top10reviews.com, which reviews a whole variety of software, not just surveillance software. But I think that they do a pretty good job of explaining the pluses and minuses of various surveillance software. So I'd tell people to start there. And then if they see a program that they think might be useful, what they should do is to just Google that and do some additional research, see what other parents are saying, and they'll pretty quickly find something they're comfortable with.
You know, Chris Hansen, he became a household name with that show To Catch a Predator, which
yeah.
I think every American has seen at least a portion of. Do you think kids nowadays are very well aware of the type of dangers that are out there when it comes to strangers on the Internet?
I think they're very well educated about the stranger danger piece of the Internet. I think they're much less well educated about the potential legal traps that they can get into, the idea that they could actually violate criminal statutes themselves. Many don't realize, for instance, that cyberbullying is a crime itself in many states, that it's a form of defamation in some others, that sexting is actually a violation of child pornography laws. So these are the kinds of things that kids need to be made aware of as well, so that they understand the legal risk that they're taking and not just the stranger danger piece.
I can imagine that a lot of time kids aren't even aware of the laws and the legal aspects as you're describing them. If they do get in trouble, are parents typically then somehow responsible too if their children are online doing breaking the law essentially?
There have been a couple of cases, Michael, that have talked about negligent supervision on the part of parents. Those really haven't gone anywhere, but I would imagine people will keep trying. Parents would not be responsible from a criminal perspective if their child commits a crime because, you know, criminality is the responsibility of the individual. But they're almost certainly going to feel at least morally obligated for the legal fees of defending their child. So the consequences there can be quite expensive.
And, you know, another big part of the Internet, and you see these commercials nowadays that let kids know that there's a permanency to anything that is put online. Do you think that kids understand that part of the Internet and know to I guess, be wary generally of posting any kind of information online?
They're slowly starting to, as it kind of creeps into the popular culture, that stuff is out there forever. But, you know, kids don't have a good grasp of long-term consequences under the best of circumstances. So, yeah, this is definitely part of the education that they need.
Finally, you know, having not grown up in the Internet generation, as many of us older folks haven't, there is kind of a shock, I guess, when you see the way that young people are exposing themselves personally, their emotions, they're blogging, they're doing things online in front of thousands of people without a lot of self-consciousness. Do you think this younger generation has a different approach and a different kind of way of thinking when it comes to their private life and their private space?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. It is very much a generational thing, but it's one that is amplified by technology. I think that this is a generation, you know, particularly the high school students we're talking about now, that has never known a world without the World Wide Web, and that alters how they view the spread of information. And so I think that they're much more comfortable putting themselves out into the world than you or I or our parents would have been. And, yeah, it's absolutely a different era, and we're going to have to adjust to that as they become adults. But at the same time, we need to educate them that there are real-world laws that haven't caught up yet, and they can run the risk of tripping over those before we really kind of sort everything out. And that's what they need to know.
Fred Lane, attorney, computer forensics expert, and the author of the new book, Cyber Traps for the Young. Welcome to the pro. Thank you for joining me, Fred.
It's been a pleasure, Michael. Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.